Bible this morning, I want you to turn to the New Testament. The New Testament book, 2 Corinthians, chapter 13. Amen. When you're there, if you will, if you'll say amen, that'll give me a good idea that we're all together. Now, if you don't have a Bible, you know, if you didn't bring a Bible, we have Bibles in the pews, and we certainly encourage you to take that Bible and open to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. You know, there's a lot of Christians who don't know what the Bible says. They're Christians. They profess a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't know much about what the Word of God says. It's hard to defend the faith if you don't know what the faith is. Isn't that true? I mean, Christians are called to defend the faith. We are called to give answers for our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we don't read the Bible, if we're not interested in what the Word of God says, and by the way, if you feel like for some reason the Bible is hard for you to read, hard for you to understand, I promise you that if you will seek God's face, seek the moving of the Holy Spirit before you even begin to read the Bible, God will open up wonderful truths from His Word to you, and you'll begin to understand what the Scripture's saying. But if we're not in His Word, if you're a Christian and you're not in His Word, you're going to be hard-pressed to be able to give answers for your faith. You're going to be hard-pressed to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with anybody. So you need to be in God's Word. Question this morning is, what is the quality of your service to Christ today? What is the quality of your service to the Lord Jesus Christ today? In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, Paul writes, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves." And then he asks a question. "Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates?" What is the quality of your service to Christ today? Is Christ in you this morning? Do you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? Paul says if we don't have a relationship with Christ, if Christ is not in us, what does he say we are? Reprobates. Reprobates. A reprobate is one who is of their own fleshly desires lost to the world. They are all about themselves. They're all about their goals, their achievements, and their successes. And it's not wrong to be ambitious or to strive for achievement or to gain success in this life, but when it is done wholly for selfish gain and without any regard at all for God's will for our lives, it's wrong. It's wrong. Our lives ought to be fully dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ, not just on Sunday morning, but every day of the week. You know, Paul tells us to pray without ceasing, and that means to have a healthy communication with God, not just on Sunday morning, but 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Many reprobates in this world today profess themselves to be religious. Many reprobates in this world today profess themselves to be religious people, even claim an association with Christ Jesus. But in their heart of hearts, when they really examine themselves, they know that what they claim to be so with their lips is not a reality in their hearts. And so Paul has a great challenge here put forth to the church at Corinth. And by the way, that's the same challenge that he put forth to the church at Corinth is the challenge he puts forth to you and me today. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. He doesn't say, "Let me examine you," does he? He doesn't say, "Let me examine you." Let me give you a little test here, and I'll tell you whether you're in the faith or not. Because listen, Paul can't do that. This pastor can't do that. I don't know if you're in the faith or not. I don't know if the Lord Jesus Christ is in your heart or not. And Paul doesn't say let others examine you, but you know what? Many Christians spend a lot of time examining others instead of taking the time to examine their own heart, to prove their own hearts, whether they're in the faith or not. And so Paul, in a sense, is saying, examine your heart. Ask the question, am I truly a Christian? This morning in our Sunday school lesson, we learned that one way of knowing whether we are truly in the faith is by examining our daily relationship with God and with our brothers and sisters. Didn't we learn that this morning? 1 John 2:9 says, he that saith he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even until now. You can't say that you love God and hate your brother. Because if you hate your brother, you don't have a relationship with God. It's all words. 1 John 2 verse 11, John says, but he that hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and knoweth not whether he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. He that hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and knoweth not whether he goes, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, just a chapter back, and you don't have to turn there, I'm going to read these verses to you. Verse 3 and 4, Paul says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. So if we're walking in darkness, we're walking in darkness, and who's the supreme authority there for darkness? It's the devil. And by the way, he's not the supreme authority. God is in control of all things, but when we're walking in darkness, we're walking with the devil. We're not walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. If we say we love God and we hate our brother, John says we're walking in darkness. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 says, if a man say, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Isn't that an honest evaluation? Isn't that a fair evaluation of your heart? If you hate your brother, and you know that you hate your brother, you know that there's some bitterness that's there against your brother, isn't it worthwhile of being honest with yourself and saying, well, I must not have a relationship with God, because God is what? Love. Paul says, examine yourselves. Prove your own selves. Another way of examining ourselves is to ask the question, if I'm a Christian, why is my service to Christ not what it should be? Honestly, ask yourself that question. If I'm a Christian, why is my service to Christ not what it should be? Why is my service vain and half-hearted? So the question is, what is the quality of your service to Christ? Is your service vibrant and enthusiastic? Are you anxious to share your love for the Lord Jesus with others? Are you in tune with the Holy Spirit, so that when the Holy Spirit sets up a situation where you are able to share, I mean, He opens the door. The Holy Spirit opens the doors every day for us, giving us an opportunity to share our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, to share our love for the Lord Jesus Christ with somebody else. But listen, if we're not looking for it, if we don't care anything about it, the Holy Spirit can speak to our heart and say, listen, I want you to share, I want you to call, I want you to do this, or I want you to do that, and we just turn a deaf ear to it. And our service to Christ is less than it should be. Our service should be vibrant and enthusiastic. But in many cases, our service is weak and at best half-hearted. What is your service? What is the quality of your service to the Lord Jesus Christ today? Turn with me back to the Old Testament. Last book of the Old Testament. The last book. What does God think about half-hearted service? What does God think about half-hearted service? Malachi chapter 1. Has Christ done anything for you today? Has Christ served you in any way, shape, or form today? What has Christ done for you? Well, my goodness, Christians ought to be able to stand up and shout hallelujah and go down a long laundry list of things that Christ has done for us. And what have we done for Christ? And how much of a burden is whatever we do for Christ a burden? You know, I was thinking as we were looking here at the Sunday school attendance last Sunday, 34 folks. Now, we know that there was a lot of folks that were sick. But we know that there were a lot of folks that weren't sick. The Bible says that we ought to be excited about coming together to fellowship with one another. The Bible says that we ought to be excited about coming together to be an encouragement to one another. And the congregation this morning is full. It's good to see this many folks here this morning. But you know, there's something just a little, it's just a, there's a little difficulty with us being able to get up just a little earlier and come to be a part of a Sunday school program. We have 118 folks active. 118. Rita shared it with me last week. 108. We've got over 300 some people on the rolls of the church. There's 118 on the active rolls. 118 folks who are members of this church, who have committed to the church covenant, our church covenant that says, you know what, we'll support our church family. We will take part in the services and so forth. 118. Boy, wouldn't it be nice to see 118 up there next Sunday for Sunday school? But somehow, for some reason, we just don't have that desire, that desire to go the extra effort. What's the quality of your service to Christ today? Is it half-hearted? Here in Malachi chapter 1, listen to what God is speaking to the priests. But you know, each and every one of us we are called to be priests unto God. We are called to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Each and every one of us are called to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with a lost and dying world. The God is speaking to the priest. He said, "A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor?" How many of us have, we often pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And many times when we're praying that, we're praying it almost as, giving it almost the casual lip service as we do John 3:16. "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes upon him should not perish but have everlasting life." What did you get out of that? I tell you what, when you read God's Word, you need to absorb every word. I believe every word. I believe every word of God from Genesis all the way to Revelation. I believe every word was inspired. Every word. And so when we read God's Word, we shouldn't just run through it real quick and just, "Oh, well, I've read the Word today. I've read God's Word today. I've done my duty." How many times have you heard people say, "I've read through the Bible 4 or 5 times in my life. I've read through the Bible 4 or 5 times in my life." Well, in our daily breads, they have a guide there for you for your daily Bible reading so that you could read, you can accomplish reading through the Bible in 1 year. Let me ask you this question. Let me just say this. I don't care how many times you read through the Bible. If you didn't absorb what the Bible is saying, then you just wasted your time. And you can run up a flag and say, I read the Bible 4 or 5 times, but if it hasn't changed your heart and it hasn't made you a better Christian, hadn't led you to want to serve Christ more, then you wasted your time. What's the quality of your service to Christ today? God says a son honors his father and a servant his master. If I then be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Says the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. And they, my goodness, for the prophet to come and tell the priests that they despise God's name, well, they're going to ask the question, wait a minute, we're going through all the motions. Wait a minute, we're in the temple. We're doing what you've asked us to do. We're going through, we're right up here when we're supposed to be, and we're in the right place where we're supposed to be. What are you talking about? How have we dishonored you? In fact, in the next the last part of that verse, and you say, wherein have we despised thy name? God says, you offer polluted bread upon mine altar. Well, they were supposed to bring the best. Listen, they were supposed to bring the very best as a sacrifice, as to present to God as a sacrifice. They were the very best of their flock, the very best of their produce. Whatever it was that they were bringing for sacrifice to the Lord, as an offering to the Lord, was supposed to be their very best. Because God gave His what? Very best. Didn't He? And all of that was a sign and a shadow of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that they brought and they put on that altar was to be an example of a shadow of what God was going to do one day for His creation, for all creation. And God said, I want you to bring the very best because I want you to understand that I'm going to give my very best. And what were the priests doing? Well, the priests were accepting anything people brought. And you know what the people were bringing? They were bringing their worst. What's the quality of your service today? You offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that you say the table of the Lord is contemptible. Doesn't make any difference what you bring to God. It doesn't make any difference what it looks like or how it sounds or how much it is. It doesn't make any difference. Verse 8, and if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And instead of bringing the lamb that is spotless and without blemish, as God had required, here they're bringing their blind animals. They're bringing the animals with birth defects and so forth. And so God says, and if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person? Says the Lord of hosts. In other words, if the president of the United States or the governor of North Carolina or your company boss, or for our college folks here, maybe a professor that they happen to have a high regard for, or for our high school students, maybe a teacher that you're very fond of. If they were coming to your home for dinner, wouldn't you be anxious to serve the very best meal in the house? Why, you would, I tell you what, you would be cleaning the house up, you'd be off to Food Lion or wherever else to get the very best to provide for them. And God says, well, how about me? How about me? We'd be embarrassed to serve anything less than our very best to those folks that we have great, great admiration for. The best steak, the best vegetables, and the best drink. Yet when it comes to honoring Christ, to serving Christ, to preparing our hearts daily to give Christ our very best, we're not embarrassed at all to give Him the very least. And yet we'll come to Him and we'll ask Him for His blessings. Look at this next verse. And we'll come to Him and we'll ask Him for His blessings. Oh Lord, listen, bless me. And I want to pray on behalf of somebody else and so forth. And then we go turn right around after we've asked God for that, we go out and live for the devil. Look at verse 9. And now I pray you, God says, beseech God that he will be gracious unto you, unto us. This hath been by your means. This is the way you act, God's saying. Will he regard your persons, says the Lord of hosts? The priests were leading the people to honor God with unacceptable gifts, flawed and broken sacrifices, sick and feeble offerings. They dishonored God with their service and their sacrifices, and yet the people and the priest made sure that they held on to their very best. Yeah, that's right. They held on to their very best. They gave God the worst and they held on to their very best. Suppose God gave us his worst. I'll tell you what, if God gave us his worst, we'd all be bound for hell. Praise God, he gave us his very best. And his very best paved a beautiful highway, an expressway, if you will, into God's glory one of these days. What's the quality of your service to Christ today? Verse 10 says, who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? The priests were perfectly willing to pad their own pockets as long as there was service done to them. Neither do you kindle fire on mine altar for naught. If we're going to fire up the grill, we're going to be paid for it. That's the attitude of the priest. The priest expected to be compensated. And the priest didn't expect to be compensated with less. They wanted more, or they wanted the very best that the people had to offer. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hand. I tell you this, if you want to be blessed by God, you give to God's service. You give to God's service. I'm not talking about dollar bills. I'm talking about service. Service. Service in your daily life, in your daily walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let others see Jesus in you. God has done so much for us. And we have done precious little for him. We want God to bless us. But in our actions and in our service and in our worship, we refuse to bless God. We refuse to give God the honor and the praise he so richly deserves. We refuse to give God our very best. And because of that, God cannot bless us. So God puts forth a challenge to us. Paul challenges us to examine yourselves. Look in your own heart. Don't wait for somebody else to point out your flaws. You don't want to, I tell you what, I'd rather have God point my flaws out than somebody else. Yet, you know, we need to keep our ears open too, because God may be using somebody to point out some of our flaws. So Paul puts forth a challenge, and then God puts forth a challenge here. In Malachi, turn over to Malachi chapter 3. I want to read verses 8 through 10. Verse 8 says, will a man rob God? Question mark. Do you think you can rob God? Well, you can. You can. When God has done so much for you, if you're a child of God, you can rob God. God's deserving of your honor. He's deserving of your praise. He's deserving of your worship. He's deserving of your service. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, God says. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Now, my friends, he's not just talking about dollar bills. He's not just talking about the amount on this board up here. He's talking about service as well. Service and reaching out to others on behalf of him. Serving others. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Now listen to what God says. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. My, my, my. If every one of us at Powhatan Free Will Baptist Church would examine our hearts and ask the question, is our service to God what it ought to be? You know, we watched Facing the Giants, and Brock, who was one of the football players, had an attitude of apathy. He had the opportunity. He had the ability to be a great leader on his football team, and yet he was apathetic. He was always down. He was always unenthusiastic about the next game. And because he was that way, why, his testimony to the rest of the players was the same way. Same way. They looked to Brock as a leader, and what did Brock do? Brock complained all the time, moaned all the time, groaned all the time. But boy, when Brock realized that he could do more, and when his coach challenged him to do more, Brock went all the way. I mean, he went all the way. You need to see the movie to understand what I'm saying. But there came a point in time in a testing where Brock realized that he could go a lot further than he's been going. And it helped to turn his team around. Let me tell you something, my friend. You and I can go a lot further than we've been going. We can. We can. We can turn Powhatan around. You know, we've got revival coming up. And it's sad, but sometimes, you know, it's sad that you have to pound and pound and pound and encourage people to come for revival. Please come. You're Christians. God saved you. God's done a great work for you. And yet, I have got to stand up here and encourage you to come and be a part of revival here. We are the people who are supposed to be going out in our community and reviving the community. And yet, we ourselves have to be revived. And then we have to encourage you to come. The devil always has something else for us to do. God says, listen, you open up your heart to me and see if I won't pour out a blessing upon you. You give me your very best and see if I don't... Listen, God will pour out blessings upon you that you can't even handle. Let me read from the New Testament. The same God speaking in the New Testament said this. Jesus Christ said this. The same God of the Old Testament is the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament. The same God speaks this in the New Testament. Give, and it shall be given unto you. How? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet with, it shall be measured to you again. If you're getting by on meager rations, my friend, that's because your service and your faith and your trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ is meager. God wants to bless us in every area of our lives, but we must open the door to those blessings by trusting and serving Him daily in our worship, in our homes, in our relationships, striving daily to give God our very best. Are you willing to give God your very best, or are you just going to continue to go on to be satisfied with just getting to the 20-yard line? I want to go all the way across the field. I want to cross the goal. That's what we want to do. It's what God wants us to do. And He'll help us to get there. Colossians 3:23-24 says, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that if the Lord that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Jesus Christ." Nobody can give you more than Christ can give you. Nobody can bless you more than Christ can bless you. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will" what? "Direct your path." And finally, in Jeremiah 29:13, the Bible says, and you shall seek me, and you will find me, when you search for me with all of your heart." What is the quality of your service to God today? Is it vibrant? Or is it half-hearted? Think about what Christ has done for you. Think about what Christ has done for you. This morning, if you're here and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, never made a commitment to Him, the Bible says if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. God has made it very clear that He has given to you eternal life as a precious gift. As a gift. A gift. By grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. If God has done that for us, shouldn't we be serving Him in a greater and more vibrant way? How far are you willing to go to serve the Lord Jesus Christ? The little ways? Half the way? Or is it possible that you could just pour out your heart completely to the Lord Jesus and serve Him to the fullest? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we thank You for Your Word, Father. We thank You for the guidance and instruction that we find in Your Word. Father, I thank You for each one that's come this way this morning, Father. And we just pray that as we leave this place, Father, that we'll go out into a lost and dying world, Father, as lights shining in the darkness, as a great beacon of light, Father, energized by the very presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, drawing people out of the darkness into the precious light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I ask You this morning, if there's one here that doesn't know You as a personal Savior, never made that personal commitment, that today, that they'll open their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Allow the Holy Spirit to come in and take up abode in their heart. That as they walk out of this church, the church doors today, Father, that church will be a part of their life forever. Not just on Sunday morning, Father, but 7 days a week, they'll have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Father, we praise You, we worship You. We thank You, Father, for this time. We ask Your blessing, Father, upon this service, and we ask Your blessing too tonight, Father, as Crystal comes to share with us. I pray, Father, that there'll be many who will come to support the program with their presence and with their prayer. Now, Father, You bless Your people. You get praise, get honor, and glory, for we ask these things in Christ's name and for His name alone. Amen and amen.